Okay, well, when are you going to start?
I've started.
You have? How long
ago? A long time ago.
Okay.
I could stop it and
Because I've been recording too. See, if I was just I was only going to stop and start over if you hadn't started yet.
This sounds, again, very sexual.
What's wrong with you? Why don't
you go?
Tell you what, why don't you go take care of your issue and call me back?
Are you gonna start? I can't be
having. You said is, that sounds sexual.
You know what is rhymes with?
That sounds really dirty.
Hi. You want to do a hello and welcome?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I'm going to do that.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Monster Theater.
Okay, music's playing. MC's saying something cute and charming.
Insert interesting bit here.
Audience is giggling. Music fades out. Egon says something dark.
The Blonde Swedes Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to podcast number 8. Can you believe it? Number
8.
8.
Wow.
How the numbers fly.
We should be much better at this by now.
Oh, I think the best one was, what, probably number 2?
8. I think they've all been number 2. But that's me.
So here we are at number 8, and we had an interesting couple of weeks off there.
Yeah. Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, and we found yet another hobby, creative hobby that we want to talk about, right?
Right. Well, now, I like the term. I had not really heard of... Tell everyone what the term is.
Well, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
I don't either. That's why I ask you to say it.
I think it's machinima.
I like that. Is there an enema in there? Enema? Do you have an enema? No. Is there...
It's... Machine-generated cinema.
Right.
And we don't mean robots with big bolts for arms. Not that kind of machine.
Right.
We mean computing machines.
Yes, software and...
Yes.
Creative software suites of things.
Because I don't know about you, but that's actually one of the first things I wanted to do with a computer was to do something visually.
Yes.
My thought was I was going to make a 20-minute visual accompaniment for Rush Hemispheres.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that.
And so to accomplish that, I bought a ZX81 with 1K of RAM.
Yes.
And surprise, surprise, that really wasn't enough horsepower to no. to realize my vision.
No.
So I bought the 16K RAM pack.
And that did it for you. And the rest, as they say, is history.
It's history. And then it had an impressive graphics performance. I think it had 30 pixels across and 27 down, I think. And you could make some of the pixels blink.
And of course, as you know, I owned the same machine.
Uh-huh.
And what you may not know is back before I got this machine, my friend and I were making little stop animation movies with the camera, and they were horrible. I don't even know what ever happened to them.
With a film camera or a video camera?
With a video camera.
Ah.
Old video camera, long time ago. And they were horrible. But one of my thoughts was, once I get this computer, I'm going to be able to animate things. And, you know,
uh-huh.
you can kind of. You just.
Oh, yeah. Someday I'll have to boot up my old ZX81 and spend half an hour trying to load the my shuttle liftoff animation.
Oh, yes. Did everyone do a shuttle liftoff?
Well, it's so obvious. Well, especially on that particular machine, because vertical scrolling was about the only thing you could do.
Yeah.
You could add lines to the bottom of your stuff, and it would push all the rest of it up. And if you did that fast enough, it sort of looked like something moving up. And so what to move up better? And of course, the year is 1982 or 81, right? So
we're all excited about that stuff.
The shuttle. I mean, what else are you going to make move up?
Yeah, I did the same thing. And then I remember I also did a Script Ohio.
Oh, really? That sounds interesting.
It was interesting.
Well, I didn't do that. See, I was not in Central Ohio, and the Buckeyes meant nothing to me.
Right. Yeah. They only meant something to me for about a half a year. And uh-huh. It was long enough for me to do that. And I would play the music in the background and try to time it. It was horrendous. I mean, it took so long to do. It starts the music, start the animation. Oh, start the music, start the animation. Oh, crap. No. And the guy would come across the field to dot the I, and you're like, no, not yet, you fool. Go back in, put a pause in, you know.
So then when you moved on to your next computer, did you continue doing animation stuff? Did you keep that moving forward?
Not too much. Mm-hmm. Around that time, I discovered that if I just bought a game, all the animation was there for me. And I didn't have to work anymore.
Did you ever play any of the ZX81 games?
Oh, yeah. I played lots of them. Super Monxer was my favorite. M-O-N-X-E-R.
I played Frogger.
I played Frogger, too.
And any game you played on the ZX81, what was just so astounding was that it looked anything like a game at all.
That's right. Well, it's just little black dots.
And you've got no cursor control. You've got no joystick. Yeah. You've got nothing. You're rubbing little keys.
Right.
Hoping that, you know, the computer registers that you did something.
Yeah, and that's right. And they were touch keys. You didn't press them down.
No, they had no travel. They were
right.
It was literally two little membranes squeezed together, and if you pushed them hard enough, they made a contact.
Right, and when you're in the middle of a game, you're trying, like Frogger was a perfect example of hop, 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 and you'd be like hop, oh, oh, and you'd hit the button and it wouldn't register, and you'd get creamed.
Right, so then you get like a pen, and you start using the back of a pen, and you start tapping the thing, and eventually you start pushing it really hard, and eventually you poke a hole.
It's exactly right.
Yep.
And let's not forget the way you loaded these games.
Right, from a consumer cassette recorder.
Yeah.
Making squealy noises.
Right. And if something happened, like to the tape, at minute, you know, 85.
Right.
No load.
Oh,
sorry,
absolutely.
Failed. So you just start it and you go upstairs and you're like, okay, well, good luck, ZX81.
Yep, and yeah, it took 6.5 minutes to load a 16K.
Yeah, that's about right.
Thing,
yeah,
it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, so that was my first hope, and it failed miserably, and then nothing really much happened until the Amiga came along.
Yeah, same here, and I did a lot of stuff with the first 3D rendering package I played with, which was Turbo Silver.
Oh, yes.
And as a matter of fact, I recently, when I was cleaning out my Amigas to sell them, I came across my M Falls Down video, which is the first completed Turbo Silver animation I ever did.
M Falls Down? Who's...
M falls down. It's a little, it's like 30 seconds long, and there's this little silvery chess piece looking thing standing in a field, and near it is this big red M, kind of like an MTV M.
Right.
And then over the course of like 110 frames, this little silvery thing cheekily moves around to the back of the M and pushes him over. And then hops up and down.
Oh my gosh. That
and that
is
was
awesome.
It. That was so 1981 space shuttle lifting off on the ZX-81. 1992.
Now, what made you decide on an M?
It was easy. I mean, it was probably easy to make in 3D space.
Yeah. For the same reason that, you know, half or three-fourths of all of the animations from that time I ever see are on checkered floor backgrounds.
Well, that was the default in all those renders, yeah.
And it's kind of weird because I've never seen a checkered floor background in real life in anyone's house. Yet, in the virtual world, it seems to be all the rage.
I thought it was so cool, and even when it was, you know, had been done a million times, I always wanted to see it. I always loved
really?
It. I'd like a whole planet that's checkered like that.
Wow.
That'd be fine with me.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it.
I'd
spend
planet.
A lot of time deciding how shiny the black and white panels would be.
Well, you know, if this keeps up, we could just replace all the roads and grass with checkered backgrounds.
That'd be fine with me because it sure looks like a clean, friendly, inviting environment to me when I look there through the viewport of my 3D renderer.
It is, and think how easy it would be to clean. You just
flip them
mops.
Over. I want them all on hinges, and then when they get dirty,
flip them over.
They just go boom. They flip.
That's an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You could have little nanobots on the bottom side that clean them. And
Fantastic.
Then when the top ones get dirty, you just flip it.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
We should try to market this.
And all the music will be made by machines.
That's the music of the squares turning over? Or
that's just some music you hear, yeah.
Just some music you hear. Wait, where's the music come from?
Don't bother me with details. I'm enjoying the squares.
Is there music related to the squares at all, or is it just...
It's part of the environment.
Ah, I see.
The soundtrack of your life amongst the squares.
And every once in a while, giant M's would come and invade, and we'd just get all cheeky and run behind them and push them over. Take that, giant M!
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and so why did we not go too far with the 3D stuff?
Technology.
It's hard.
Hard.
Really hard.
A lot really hard.
And it takes so long.
Long time.
So we stopped, and that was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, now I remember you amazed me with what you could do on the Amiga. So it kind of got my interest up and interested again. My interested? Yes. And but I remember we'd have these days where, I don't even remember what we were trying to render, but we'd go over to your place and come up with some rendering thing, of something flying through, and you'd hit the button, render, and we'd go do something for a few weeks.
Right.
And we come back, and okay, it's done. Okay, how long is that animation? It's 1 second. You know?
Right.
And it just, it's like, why would you go down that road?
Right. And
so
very
painful.
Then all the 3D gaming happened, and then the games happened on the PC that had engines that could be retasked.
Right, and people started creating mods, too.
Right,
games.
And then somebody realized, hey, I could make my own story in here.
That's right.
I think it really took off a couple of years ago.
I was trying to think of what that...
The Quake 3 engine was... And the Unreal engine.
Yeah. And they also had the... although I've never played with them much, they had the Sim Movie Maker, which could let you kind of record your... On the game, The Sims kind of could let you record what your Sims were doing, and then
I think there's two general categories, and the one is where, for people who are rather nuts and they want to design their whole world, and then there's ones that a lot of that stuff's already made up for you,
right? Yeah, so, and then it brings us to mm-hmm. now.
Right.
And what happened to me was I was tricked. I got a game for Christmas called The Movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to play this game, and you and I have talked about this a lot. This kind of game drives me crazy, and it's the sim sort of game where, okay, what do I do in this game? You have six people, and you have to make sure that they have everything they need, and they're going to get cranky and unhappy, and you have to make sure. I hate that, because all I do the whole game is like, I'm doing this for myself every day, you know? Ugh.
Right, this is like worse than real life.
Right, and you just, people you don't, it's like, just shut up, just shut up. I'm not getting paid enough. Well, neither am I, so... You know, wah, 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 sorry. So I'm no good at them. And I just, you know, when I used to play The Sims, I just leave people, you know, so-and-so's house is dirty. Well, they can clean it then. What, you know, what do you want me to do?
Everything.
Tell them to clean it. Like, well, no, they, I'm not going to tell anyone to clean their house. That's not my job. So I played this game for maybe 4 or 5 hours until I realized that I couldn't take it. And I started to pack it up, and I was going to sell it, and I just decided to pop into the sandbox mode where you can kind of play around, and the whole idea is you make movies and you market the movies. And I discovered in the sandbox mode there was a custom script and custom post-production feature. Yeah, and what it lets you do is take any of a number of sets and place scenes in there of... You know, two people talking. You select that, and then you can select sliders. One person is angry, and the other person's happy. Okay. And, or the shot's from here, or the shot zooms in, or the shot pans, or whatever. And by doing this, you can create a whole movie that can then be shot and put into post-production. And in post-production, you can do things like add your own voice, sound effects, your own music, whatever you want, and then export it to a Windows movie file.
That's now.
Yeah,
it's like that's the best part of this thing.
It's the only part of it for me. I wish they would have sold that and forgotten about the game.
Right. Well, I remember you were always into the construction set type apps.
Yes. Yes. Always. It's one of the reasons I like Flash too. Mm-hmm. Playing around with Flash because I can construct a whole bunch of different scenes. So that's fascinating to me. And as it turns out, there's a big community of people online who are exporting movies, and there's a rating system, and there are movie competitions. And through watching some of these movies are really good.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're not very long. They're 10 minutes is probably the top length of a movie. But you have these little 10-minute films, and the acting work, there's real actors doing the acting work, and there's real musicians who have written custom, you know, scores for it. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that's something that I'm going to be playing around with, and I kind of put together a little proof of concept movie just to see if I could do it, and showed it to you. And
yeah, I think it's hilarious, and I think we should actually finish that.
We will
with the with voices and
yes,
and post that up on the podcast as a video podcast.
That's a great idea because it's only what 8 minutes long or 7 minutes long. So it we'll definitely do that. And what I'm sort of hoping, and I've been thinking about this a lot, because what I'm really hoping is there's been lots of articles that I've seen now. Wired just did something. A couple other publications written about the movies. And mm-hmm. how they call it the first movie creation tool. And I'm hoping that they take this engine, break it out of the game, turn it into a piece of software that both you and I can use,
mm-hmm.
and share files back and forth. Because right now, I don't know how we're, you know.
Right.
It's in my game. I actually have to, it's weird, to create a movie, I have to start a game and pretend like I'm playing the game. And, make sure my studio doesn't run out of money or else the game's over. So I have to save my game, make the movie, and keep doing different save points and going back to before I created the movie so my studio has enough money and then create the movie. Doesn't work. And, you know, like if you want to add your own voice, well, you got to have the game. So what I'm hoping is they turn this into something. They give us, you know, more sets and more, because it obviously works and works well. Mm-hmm. And it's something that in the future, maybe we're seeing the start of something that you and I can really use to create and play with.
Right.
So yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's Makaninjinshima Cinema. Matching in the month.
It's time for listener mail.
What other gags are there?
You mean what other shtick can we do? Well, you want to talk about listener mail, or do you want to talk about mm-hmm. the video iPod?
Robin Williams versus Jim Carrey. Cat people versus dog people thing.
What the hell?
I hate Jim Carrey. I hate him with every core of my being. I love Robin Williams, but they both are the same kind of comic. So I was thinking, why? And it's because Robin is positive and Carrey's negative. Robin's characterizations are always celebratory. Carrey's are always derogatory.
Right.
So there was that. So what do you say we dip in the mailbox?
Okay.
I'm going to creak it open here. There's one dusty letter at the bottom of this thing.
So, just one?
Yeah, I hope it's good.
Okay. Who's it from?
It's from a young Miss Becky Bates.
Yes.
And she's particularly interested in giving us her thoughts on podcast number 7, previous to this one.
Okay.
And she says she likes the idea of the radio show. She thinks we should have a character that never has the same voice and feature a guest for that character each podcast. Age, gender, accent, pitch could change each time.
And I love that idea.
Yeah.
Because I immediately imagined if we didn't have anyone else to do it, you getting one of your girls or Alex to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, Mrs. McGillicuddy, what's new today? I like my pies.
Yeah, well, there's some guys at work could be really funny.
Yeah, see? I think it's a great idea.
Right. And she also comments that she always knew Shorn was a figment, as you said.
Yes, but now I can hear you again. So I don't know whether I need my dosage upped.
Yes, or lowered, or what?
Or lowered.
And then there's a part that maybe you can help me with. She says the Google ads showing up on this.
Oh yeah.
Pro male.
Now are there Google ads showing up on the podcast?
Oh no. That's why I'm wondering what she means. Because she's using Gmail.
Uh-huh. And what ads do we have going on Gmail?
Because of what she typed, or whatever. Pro male voice talent, two different ones for voiceovers, and choose your baby's gender.
What? That... huh.
Maybe figment is another definition for figment is transgender or gender confused.
It's a good character for our...
right.
It could be the, reoccurring character.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds very Swedish. Well, that was a good viewer mail, but, man, we didn't get any other viewer mail.
No, I think people were so blown away by podcast 5 and 6 that...
Must have been.
They just didn't know.
Now, I have heard many, many good things from other people. I said, you know, it was dangerous to post those two podcasts because if people like them enough, it's just me from now on. But
you're breaking my heart, you know. Let's see, what else could I do at 11:45 on a weekday? Oh yeah, sleep.
Oh man.
So I'm trying to figure out what else we can read. I was wondering, maybe just open up a random spam message and read that.
Okay, that sounds good.
Forward, wanting to save on the daily health supplement.
Ooh. Which supplement?
What's crackin'? This website has honestly helped me out. With love, from Danyal, spelled Danyaal, at abbymorales.com.
Abby Morales.
And it says, I bet you're curious about what I found out yesterday. I've been searching high and low for this for some time. My mom told me about one express outlet selling effective alleviations at the most economical prices.
Effective alleviations?
This outlet will make our lives less stressful and our hassles vanish.
Wait, this outlet?
Yes.
For effective alleviations?
Of course, there's more.
Oh.
Dear Rice Stop, recovering herself, you are so liver young, so frank and fearless, so talented, temper so impatient of imbecility, so disdainful of vulgarity. You need energy, a lesson. Hear theme, nursery animal, the term we all come from there, he said. After a while, we go there. And this time, he salt-jerked his head toward the north.
What?
Be gallus, he concluded. Seafood it is then. Far more is soya sauce to be done in this world by dexterity than by strength. But perhaps you knew cruelty that before, for there is delicacy as well as power.
Wow. Now, what? Why? What is that? I mean,
well, when I first started seeing stuff like this in news groups, after 9/11, I was convinced it was obfuscated.
Yeah, seriously.
Messages to between like terrorist cells,
right?
And that if you read it enough, you'd figure something out.
It's just so. I mean, what are they? You know, it's spam. Yeah. So, what are they trying to sell? I guess there's a website address in there, right?
Right. Well, you know, you could understand a string of words,
right?
Because they want to one way the spammers fight Bayesian filters is to stuff their messages with every word they can think of, because that'll throw the Bayesian scores way off.
Right.
But to actually have these weird story-like nonsensical sentences.
And you know, somewhere out there, there is a piece of software that you can buy.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like the movies, except it's the text.
Right.
The script.
But, I mean, and the thing about spam, I guess I don't understand is, okay, I read that. Is it supposed to get me to buy something? If so, what? An outlet that alleviates my... Well, that's what? That it, something my alleviation?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know what that is. Do I plug into it? Is there an outlet that I can plug something into and it alleviates me from... I don't understand what they're trying to sell me.
Right.
Well, that was a... Yeah, why doesn't... You know what? I wish that we'd get some real listener mail that was that poetic.
Yeah. We should throw that out as a challenge to our listeners.
All three of them. Mm-hmm. And your mom. they should write us some good, poetic response emails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That suggest there might be a story in there somewhere if you could just figure it out.
Right. Maybe through one of those we'll actually get the start of our radio drama.
Right. Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, it's going about as well as our music at the moment. But hey, here's a new podcast.
time for Liam something.
I got all sorts of stuff going on here. My mic just fell off. Okay. Hi.
Yeah, well, the kids were... I was out of town yesterday, and the kids were playing down here, and there's, you know, toys and stuffed animals and blankets and everything thrown everywhere. And...
Are you sure it wasn't you and the wife?
Yes.
Oh.
Like I said, I was out of town.
Oh. Oh. Right.
So I'm sure it wasn't me and the wife.
Right.
No. Could have been that guy who brings the, who delivers the meat.
The what?
The meat. The guy who delivers the meat.
Oh, the meat. The meat guy.
Hey, wait a minute.
I don't know what's wrong with me today. I really don't. I know what's wrong. It's the rain.
Yeah, what's your temperature like?
God. Temperature is holding at a pretty steady around 46 to 48 degrees every day. And it just rains and rains and rains. Washington's under a state of emergency, and the streets are flooded, and the grass is flooded. It's just unbelievable.
I read a long article today about, the headline was, oh, January was very mild, scientists say. It was something like that. And I'm like, scientists say? Where have you been?
Yeah. The scientists, they're living in Hawaii,
it's
actually.
Like, people... The Gulf Stream didn't move down.
Exactly.
And so they're going and they're talking about how warm it's been and how wonderful that's been for everybody everywhere because they could do all these spring, summerish things.
Right.
At no point in the article did they mention, oh, by the way, this is the end of days.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, buy canned goods. None of that. Just the, well, you know, although this has been nice, it's probably eventually going to get cold. Like, oh, shucks. Eventually the appropriate weather will happen. Oh. Of course, that's going to be in April when everybody's supposed to be planning, but that's...
Yeah, well, it'll be the summer when it's, you know, 100 degrees every day and... In Seattle, and people are like, wow, it's really a hot summer. I guess the world's ending. That's probably what it is. We're hurtling toward the sun or something. The ozone's gone. Sure is nice.
Yeah, you can't see the ozone hole anymore because there's, you can't find no the ozone.
Right. Now it's just a little bit of ozone, and it kind of drifts around, and people are like, dude, the ozone, get that out of here.
Yeah, what's that thing blocking?
You know, speaking of the ozone, I'm about to take a flight. This is kind of related, but I'm about to take a flight to Southern California. And
I haven't approved
one leg,
that.
Oh. The meat guy said it was okay.
I've got the paperwork here, but I haven't signed it.
And one of the legs of that flight is taking a 30-seater turboprop from Seattle to Portland.
Well, that's going to take, what, 14 minutes?
Yeah, it will. Something like that. And then I started looking at the routes. I'm like, that's just stupid. And the other routes were San Francisco to Burbank. I'm like, on a turboprop. I'm like, that's the... It's like 2 minutes. Like, what is going on here? And then I read this long article where the airlines, since they're broke, have started to put these smaller planes much more into service.
Yep.
So it's like 1930s again.
Yes.
We're going to walk out on the tarmac and we're going to get on this little plane and we're going to fly across the country.
You live in a third world country and you didn't move.
No, I know. So, and not that I don't really mind flying in those things, but it was so weird that, like, one leg of my flight is in this teeny tiny plane.
Why does your flight have legs?
Oh, it's very good, Master.
No, why
does it have legs?
It's too short a distance for it to have legs.
And the flight back is direct. But right. It was almost impossible to get two direct flights. And it's like, well, that's... I'm flying to the Burbank Airport in right. Los Angeles.
From Seattle. From Seattle. Yeah. It's not from like you're Seattle. Flying there from someplace little tiny.
Yeah. I'm flying from Seattle on Alaska, one of the hubs of Alaska, to Burbank, another Alaska airport. Right. And I had one of the legs of the flight's on this little teeny plane. And it actually bothered me. It worried me until I read that article. I'm like, wow, that's because they don't use a lot of gas and they're.
Well, I'm all for lots of smaller planes.
Yeah, I mean, but I wonder if they're, you know, one day they'll all be 30-seater planes and they'll just leave every 5 minutes.
Right. We need lots of smaller planes that leave more often, and but we have to do more direct flying too.
Right.
We have to have more destination ports or yep. Airports, and build some more airports. Don't make them big for the big planes. Make them small enough for the small planes. And I also had thought that they should, if the airlines are in trouble, let's just mandate a price.
Right. Sure.
Every flight is $500.
Right.
Or $300 or whatever it is.
Right.
And stop the negotiating and trying to nickel and dime each other out of existence, which is what the airlines are doing.
Right.
To their own demise. It's crazy.
Well, the thing that I noticed getting tickets this time is that they still ask me on Expedia or Travelocity what kind of meal option I want. There aren't any meals anymore. You can buy meals on the plane.
Right.
But nobody gives you a meal.
No.
So why are the airlines asking
me? But why would they even on a flight between three states?
I mean, that's true.
I mean, you're not.
And the two hours you're on the air, I bet you're going to get pretty hungry.
Right. It's not like you're flying from Seattle to New York.
Right.
Or to Hawaii. You're going right. halfway down the coast.
Yeah, I'm going over to Burbank to try to pitch the Blonde Swedes podcast into a TV show. Oh, whoa. I mean, see a friend of mine.
Who are you going to get to play me?
I'll give you one hint. He sells meat.
Jack Black. That's my pick.
But the fact they even ask me for my meal preference is just mean.
Yep.
What kind of meal preference do you want? Vegetarian? Okay, good. Do I get a meal? No. Sucker.
And now, the demise of Western civilization.
Yeah, I haven't flown in a little while. It's been since Denver, so.
Yeah, I think it's been a while. Well, I flew at Christmas, but other than that, I haven't really done much. But
I get to go to Florida in April.
Oh, yeah?
For work, yeah. There's some conference down there.
Maybe you can call NASA and try to get a shuttle launch scheduled.
They don't do those anymore.
Oh, that's right. Damn.
You want me to rant about that for a minute?
Sure, go right ahead.
Have you seen the plans for the back to space program that they've come up with?
I heard
the brilliant Bush-appointed head of NASA has come up with?
No, I heard about it, but I didn't read the article. So
okay, you remember the Apollo program, right?
Oh, sure.
I remember it, too. I was, proudest moment in American history, I think. But So when you've built a sophisticated shuttle that's based on 70s technology, and everybody's saying it's old, it's outdated, and it's dangerous, what do you propose you replace it with?
Mm-hmm.
Something older. And more dangerous. The Apollo capsule sitting on top of, I am not making this up, the solid rocket booster.
What?
The thing that keeps blowing up shuttles. That's
really?
What's going to replace
but the,
booster shuttle.
But the shuttle itself is okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
They are taking the one part of the system that works and removing it.
Oh my gosh.
And they're saying this is for safety because the capsule sits on top of the rocket so it can be pulled away to safety in the event of a disaster. But the real reason is because it's cheap.
Oh my gosh. So they're going to start doing splashdowns and everything still again?
No, well, they probably will, but what they're saying right now from their little NASA's little 3D previz videos that they show, it will, like the Russians, it'll have little retro rockets at the bottom and it'll just bonk on the ground.
Wow.
Out in the desert, you know.
That's astounding. That.
Yep. Let's just, that's America for you in 2006. Let's just give up and punt.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So they're using the same design as the Apollo capsules?
Yeah, it's just a little bigger.
Wow.
It might hold 4 people.
I can't even imagine it. I was just, oh, that's astounding.
Mm-hmm. That's our new crew exploration vehicle. It's the Apollo capsule.
That's like if they released a DVD player in it, and for some reason there was a defect in it, and it stopped working. They're like, okay, well, going back to tape. Can't you fix a DVD player? No. Get your Betamax tapes out.
Yeah, they're too dangerous.
Yeah, they're too dangerous. We're not even going to try. But we know that Beta works, so we're going to go back to that. Roll back, everybody. Roll back. Roll, you know.
Right. Well, actually, I should clarify. It's the SRBs didn't cause the problem with Columbia getting damaged at liftoff.
Right.
That was the big tank. And the tank. But the shuttle itself is sound. It needs a better launch system.
Yeah.
When was it? When did the Russians launch their shuttle clone? I think it was around...
I remember.
Anywhere around there, 88 to 90, somewhere in there. They launched that shuttle clone on a inertia booster.
Right.
And the inertia booster would be a great thing to use for the shuttle. We just got to go, you know, talk to the Ruskies.
Well,
we just traded some nylons and some cigarettes for inertia, right?
And some chocolate bars.
Yes.
You're going to be down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You could stop in and talk to them. Bring a portfolio. Could be the next the next thing. It happens in the movies. You just store them in, and you're all out of order. And you bring in the portfolio, and you spread it out on the table. And who is this? It's not important who I am. It's important who we all are. We're Americans.
Just think about it. You now live in a country that had the space shuttle and decided to stop flying it.
Right. So now I live in a country where I'm taking 30-seater Indiana Jones planes from airport to airport and watching on my black and white TV the launch of the Apollo capsule.
Right.
Okay.
But anyway, for a good laugh, go to NASA's site and look at their Vision for the Future photo gallery. Quest for 1965 was what it should have been called.
Can't we just? We can probably go to the space museum and probably just reuse some of that stuff for free.
Oh, they'll have to study it to figure out how to do it.
Why don't we just get the old Apollo capsule and reuse it? Then we don't have to buy one or make one.
Oh, they weren't reusable. Go. They're not reusable.
Well, there's some capsules they have.
You can only use them once.
Well, there's some stuff they have in the space museum. We could just use that, right?
Use it to figure out how they did it, because nobody's alive who remembers. It's like the beginning of Lord of the Rings.
<My God>.
Some things that should not have been forgotten were lost, for none now live who remember it. How prophetic.
Ooh.
On podcasting.
As you know, both of us are always right all the time.
100%.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of boring, I think, to people listening because we'll say something and it's true.
Have we ever argued? Ever?
Rarely, if ever. I can't remember anything.
Not ever in real time.
No.
Not ever talking.
No.
And I think it's your fault.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, darn.
And that's exactly why. You're too damn agreeable.
That's got to be what it is. Oh, no, I did it again. I'm not agreeable. Unless you think so.
Oh,
blast.
We both are always agreeing with each other. It's right. Like pathetic. Can that really be after 15 years?
I don't know. It is kind of scary.
Right.
Well, I just think it's the old married couple thing where even if one of us is like, I'm not too sure about that, we're like, yeah, the energy it would take? Yeah. You're right. And then pretty soon we're like, oh, he's probably right. I mean, anything you say, like this thing about the space program.
Right.
You could be completely wrong. And I'm like, eh, he's probably right. Will I go check on this later? No. Yeah. You told me, so I'll probably tell other people.
Right.
Yeah, he's right. Whatever. Good enough.
You don't need to check my facts.
Nah.
I should work in the Bush administration.
You should. I'd believe you immediately.
I'll just tell you people things, and you just go. You just don't worry your pretty little heads about it.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, even down to like, I was talking about the fact I actually am going to buy a camcorder this year at some point. And someone said, what are you going to buy? And I said, I don't remember. And he said, what do you mean you don't remember? And I said, oh, Scott's going to tell me what to buy.
I'm sure he'll tell me at the right time.
As soon as I ask him, he's going to tell me, and I'm just going to go buy it. Are you going to check the reviews? Why? I'm sure it's fine. He's telling me to get it. So that's the level it goes to.
And I may have already done this with you on the podcast, and if I do, I apologize, and of course we'll cut it out. But my parents, even when I was a young teenager, were deferential to my facts.
Yeah.
We were sitting in a movie theater watching War Games, the whole family. And I'm sitting, my dad is sitting to my right, and my mom is sitting to his right. And my mom leans over to my dad and says, ask Scott if that's what NORAD really looks like. And so my dad leans over and asks me, Scott, is that what NORAD really looks like? And with a solid assurity, I said, yes, exactly. And I'm like 13 years old. Or whatever.
Yeah, see?
And my dad tells my mom, and she did graduate Phi Beta Kappa from Oberlin College, so right. She did have the thought process to go, well, how does he know? And dad just goes, I don't know. He just does.
See, that's always the explanation. It always works. How does Scott know? I don't know. And you have to say it like you're upset or also amazed at the same time. I don't know. He just does. Oh, okay.
the Ron Swede's Music Update.
So let me tell you about my new guitar.
Yes.
The Godin XTSA finally is in my hot little hands.
Great. And you, what do you think?
It's gorgeous. It's the fit and finish is great. The neck is great. The ebony fretboard is like, it's really, really nice. It's like, it's flat and wide like an acoustic guitar's fretboard, but it's much easier to play than that. Sweet. Being an electric, the strings are really low. And it's funny, I've plugged it into an amp and recorded a bit with it, and it does not rock.
What?
This guitar does not rock.
What does it do instead?
It does solo stuff and, you know, leads and melodies and anything else but rock. Anything else but chord rock.
How weird.
But it doesn't need to do that. That's my other guitar. That's the only thing my other guitars can do.
Right.
So, but my experience with it so far is that when you crank it up to 11 and get some distortion on it, it doesn't sound right.
Well, you know what's so funny about that? I mean, and you're right. I've heard you for years talk about, I can't really get a good solo or lead sound on this guitar.
Right. And
that's kind of neat.
Right. No, it's definitely a very, very good instrument to complement my collection, but it is not a guitar for everything.
Huh.
The acoustic pickups sound way better than I thought they would. It sounds so much like an acoustic guitar that I may, you know, not even use an acoustic to track some things.
Wow.
It sounds really good with the acoustic pickup.
So you probably won't be asked for an official review, because your review would be, buy this guitar, it does not rock.
Because it does not rock.
It doesn't? No. What if I try hard? No, it will not rock for you. This is over.
The Blonde Swedes Podcast is a production of Shorn Media in collaboration with Swedes and Things West Coast.
Hey, everybody. Like what you've heard tonight or don't like what you've heard tonight? Send your virtual panties and room keys to podcast@blondeswedes.com.